first reading is from Acts 2. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing with all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
As you hear that passage of Scripture read, you think, wow, what an outpouring of God's Spirit. What community was being built in the early church? That community continues to be built, and it's built by the Good Shepherd himself. So here we are, gathered together in his fold. Hear what the Good Shepherd has to say to us from John chapter 10. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he's a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. So Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord, may this good news be expanded in us as we come to know better you, the Good Shepherd. We are your sheep, and your sheep love to hear from you. It brings us peace. It brings us hope. It brings us joy. Your voice and your actions have brought us life. So here we are, Lord. We want to hear your voice. In Jesus' name, amen. Palestine has changed a lot since Israel repatriated the land in 1948. But in many ways, that land is much the same as it has been for thousands of years. Yes, the kibbutzim have worked hard to make the land farmable. They've brought water in, and where there was once a desert, now there are flourishing farms and orchards and vineyards. But sheep and goats are still the natural industry of that area. The shepherd is a central figure throughout Scripture, Old and New Testament. And God is seen there as our shepherd. Moses and David, two big names in Jewish history, They were both shepherds. The shepherds were the first ones to hear the good news about Jesus' birth. And in the final judgment, Jesus is revealed as the shepherd who separates the sheep from the goats. And this is what Jesus is picturing here in John chapter 10. The good shepherd. It's nightfall, and the shepherd is leading the sheep into the fold. But how can the sheep find their way in? They know his voice. And they have signs, markers that help them to know the way in. When Kathy and I were in Switzerland a few years ago, we undertook a high alpine hike. We took a Seilbahn, a cable car, up to an area, and there were no trees in this area. In fact, that is a picture that I took up there. So as we began the hike, it didn't seem like there was much of a pathway. But there are indicators that are put there, painted with, you can see an indicator in white and red that says this is a high alpine walkway. We wanted to make sure that we made it to our desired destination, because when you're up there, sometimes it's real easy to lose the path. People who go before us mark it so we know the path. If you're constantly wandering and you can't find the fold, eventually you start to get very thirsty because the water runs out, and you get very hungry. And up in those high alpine regions, when the sun goes down, it gets cold. I mean, it gets cold quickly. And so finding rest is important. And finding rest in the fold is the need of the sheep. Now, the key for us, if we're going to find the fold, is we need to find the good shepherd. Now, that's kind of a trick statement. More about that in just a moment. The good shepherd leads us. He leads us into rest, but his rest is not a cushy hotel, not even a high alpine cabin, but a place of being able to find peace in our work and in our relationships, in our play, in the things that we do, the way we live our lives, to find peace and rest. That's what God wants for us. Kathy and I, you know, just bought a new home, and we've been working at getting it set up. Sometimes it's hard to know where things are. Are things in a box someplace? Is it at 1714 Woodland Boulevard or 211 Francis Avenue? We know it's not at 6 Windermere Court. That place was completely empty when we left it. But it's not easy at times trying to find our way. He says, I want you to have peace. I want you to have peace in your relationships and not in the stuff that's around you. And that's the disquieting part. You know, the stuff is scattered all over the place. And God says, don't worry about that. But that's not easy, Lord. That's what makes me feel secure. He says, no, forget about that. I'm your security. Find your rest in me. I hear you, Lord. Do I really? Do we really? Jesus indicates that the Pharisees that have been leading the people are blind guides. You can check that out in chapter 9. And starting in verse 39, he says, "And Jesus said, For judgment I came into the world, so that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may become blind." Those of the Pharisees who were with him heard these things and said to him, "We're not blind too, are we?" And Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But since you say we see, your sin remains." Jesus didn't have warm fuzzies for a lot of those guys, because they thought they had, you know, the world by the tail. They were the ones that were in charge. And their aim was to preserve their institution. But in the context here, notice, in John chapter 9, Jesus has just restored sight to a blind man. And the Pharisees are really bothered with that. What bothers them? One of the things that they say is, "We're afraid that the whole world's going to go after him and forsake us." When Jesus is really saying to them, "I want you too. You come with me. Because after all, I have the light of life. I have the water of life. I'm the one you're looking for." But Jesus says, because they refuse, they're really bad shepherds. They haven't done a really good job at pointing the way, because it's all been about their program. And the way they're leading the people doesn't take them to God's kingdom. We sometimes think that there are many roads to glory. But Jesus tells us in John chapter 14 that no one comes to the Father except by him. Max Lucado illustrates this odd nature of the statement that we oftentimes hear, that all religions lead to God, as if somehow all roads lead to heaven. The sentence really makes good talk show fodder. But does it really make sense? Can all approaches to God be correct? Can all religions lead to God when they're all so different? We don't tolerate that kind of logic in other matters. We don't pretend that all roads lead to London or all ships sail to Australia and all flights don't lead to Rome. Imagine your response, says Max Lucado, to a travel agent who proclaims that they do. You tell him that you need a flight to Rome, you know, Italy, not New York. And he looks on the screen and he says, "Well, there is a flight to Sydney, Australia at 6 a.m. "Does it go to Rome?" you ask. "No, but it offers great food and movies." "But we need to go to Rome," you say. And he says, "Well, let me suggest Southwest Airlines." "Southwest Airlines flies to Rome?" "No, but they win awards for on-time arrivals." So you're getting frustrated. And you reiterate, "I need one airline to carry me to one place, Rome." And the agent starts to get really irritated, appearing offended, says, "Sir, all flights go to Rome." "But you know better. Different flights lead to different destinations." That's not a thick-headed conclusion, it's just an honest one. Every flight does not go to Rome, and every path does not lead to God. I wish that there was some magical way that they all did. I wish it were a whole lot easier, and that we could all choose whatever way we want to go. But that doesn't make sense. If you're going to go to Rome, you better find a flight that's going to go there. It may be circuitous, but I've got to end up there. Not Sydney, Australia, or some other place. if you're going to fly, if we're going to get to the promised land, if we're going to get into the fold, then we need to find the good shepherd. And we need to learn his voice, which is why he says, "To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." The shepherd has a relationship with the sheep. The shepherd has known the sheep for years. And the shepherd's main reason for keeping the sheep is for their wool. I mean, it's a relationship here. I feed you, we shear you, you grow more wool. We shear you again, you grow more wool. I feed you, this works out. And he knows each one of these sheep by name. You know, shepherds have pet names for their sheep. Might be Big Daddy or Notch Ear or, you know, Nosy or Shy One. How does the Lord refer to you? Does God have a name for you? You know, just an intimate name. After all, we want folks to know our names. And when we see somebody and we think they should know our name and they don't, that kind of hurts, doesn't it? Now, let's face it, senior moments can really get in the way of this one. But that person knows us. I walked into my allergist office and I don't have to announce I'm Frank Reeder. They know me there. And I'm amazed. I walk in and they pull my chart. "Hi, Frank." It feels good, even at the doctor's office. Do you have a special name that the Good Shepherd calls you? I have one. Beloved. God calls me beloved. How did I learn that? Spending time there, in the fold. The sheep know Jesus' voice, and they follow him. I don't have to identify myself when I call Kathy. She knows this voice, unless it's a really bad connection. She knows this voice. The story is told of a man who observed Palestinian shepherds on a hillside. And the shepherds got together, you know, they're out there on the, you know, the high Alp, and their flocks are over here and over here, and they're just kind of getting together and they're sharing stories and they're laughing. And then while they're laughing and sharing the stories, the sheep are kind of mingling. But it comes time for them to part. How are they going to sort out the sheep? As they part, each one takes a different path, and they begin to sing. And the sheep know that voice, and they follow. That's it. Do we know the voice of the shepherd in such a way that we follow? So how do you get to know that voice? You know. Most of us know. But it bears repeating. It's spending time. How does Kathy know my voice? Because we spend a lot of time together. I mean, we're married. We live together. That voice probably reverberates in her sleep, just as hers does to me. We quietly meditate on our Lord and spend time alone with him. You know, before refrigerators, people used to use ice houses to preserve their food. Ice houses had thick walls, no windows, and a tightly fitted door. In the winter, when the streams and the lakes were frozen, large blocks of ice would be cut out and packed away in these ice houses, covered with straw and sawdust. And very often that ice would last even into a Virginia summer. A man lost a very valuable watch while he was working in the ice house, and he looked diligently for it, carefully raking through the straw and the sawdust, but he still couldn't find it. And so he got some of his fellow workers, "Come in and help me. I lost my watch." But through all of their efforts, it proved futile. They came up with nothing. Then a small boy heard about their fruitless search. And after everybody was gone, he slipped into the ice house during the noon hour when everybody was out to lunch. And soon he emerged holding the watch. He took it to the man. They were all amazed. "How did you find this?" He says, "I closed the door. I lay down in the sawdust and the straw. And I kept very still. Soon, I heard the watch ticking." Often the question is not whether God is speaking, but whether we're being still enough, quiet enough to hear him. We read the word, and we pray. And we know that as we read this word, the shepherd will never contradict it. That's why it's important for us to know the scriptures. So when we hear this voice out on the hillside, we know instinctively that's God, or no, that does not line up with what I've heard in the stillness and in the quietness. We talk with other people who know the shepherd well, and they can also give us clues. They can be the two white stripes and the red bar on the mountainside, helping us to find the path. But if you're going to seek someone out, I want to encourage you to be careful here. Use wise discernment. Because there are many who will say, "Well, yeah, I know." Like people who you stop on the street, you know, I need to get to Cumberland Mall. And so, "Oh, you just go up here and you turn right and then you turn left and you'll find it." And you do just that and there's still no mall. Because they just gave you a line, you know. Or maybe you didn't hear it well, whatever the situation. But we have to use discernment. Is the person to whom we speak one who has spent time alone and in community with the shepherd? And seek his peace in this. The good shepherd leads his sheep to abundant life. Now, I said earlier that we need to find the shepherd, and here's the trick in this. It's really the shepherd who finds us. When the choir was practicing this, "Where is my lamb?" this morning, I heard Linda pray this. She said, "You really find us, Lord." And that's the truth. God is constantly seeking us out. And he finds us and he leads us to abundant life. John 10:10 says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." And sometimes the path to abundant life leads through a pretty rocky mountainside or a very low and dark valley. But the shepherd says, and you know this, "Even if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I God says, I will be with you. Be still and know that I am God. False shepherds are going to compete for allegiance. They're going to promise you financial gain and physical health and a rich worldly life, and that all sounds really good. But that's not the cue we get from Jesus. The cue we get from Jesus is the one who says, I don't have any place to lay my head. He's the one who's nailed to a cross, and he still talks about the abundant life. You say, what? So Jesus has an inside view of what the abundant life is like. It's far different than what the world offers to us. You can't buy the abundant life on the real estate market. Sorry, Rich. You can't buy the abundant life at Ray Moore and Flanagan or at the Ram's Head Inn. Good places. But the abundant life is found in a relationship with the one who says, I am life. And we take our cues from him, who says, it may not be an easy road, but it's worth it. And his abundance came from his relationship with his Father, so that even as his arms are nailed and he's gasping for breath, he says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And he says, that's the Jesus we follow. That's the shepherd who says, I give my life for the sheep. Follow me. The abundance comes from his relationship with the Father. And that's where my abundance and yours comes from too. It's not wrong to go to the Ram's Head Inn or wherever you want to go out to eat. Enjoy. But don't expect that that's going to be life. It only comes from a relationship with God. And Jesus says, and I am the way. Hear my voice. I lead you to life. And so, do you know the Good Shepherd? Is he calling your name? And what name is that? Get still and get quiet and listen. He'll call you. And if you don't hear it yet, listen some more. Stay quiet. He will call you. And if you need help, talk with somebody else who will help you. But he will call. That's his promise. And he says, and as I do, I call you to life. And that more abundantly. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to us. Thank you for being a good shepherd who leads us not in the ways of the world, but in the ways which really bring life. We thank you, Lord, that you have called us not simply to experience this life, but to be people who share this life. And so, Lord, we commit ourselves afresh to you, that as you fill us with your goodness, we'll share it. We pray in the name of the Good Shepherd Jesus. Amen.